Hello, friends, and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. Our hope is that you will be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the daily lives of the members of our fellowship. I am grateful today to have my wife, Julie Chipman, and Stephanie Smith and Julia Morrison with us on the Voices of MCC podcast to reflect on the Christian Alliance for Orphans Summit held just recently in Cincinnati, Ohio. This is an annual gathering of many ministries and ministry leaders who are thinking about vulnerable children around the globe. And Stephanie and Julie and Julia were able to go from MCC and as moms who have fostered or adopted, they have a personal interest and they are a connection for MCC in this ministry. So ladies, welcome. Great to have you. I'm going to ask each of you just to share briefly for folks who don't know you well, just your point of contact with MCC and how you came to MCC, what you're doing now. And Julie, I will start with you, my bride. So it's been a while that we've been at MCC, but go ahead.
All right. Well, yeah, we came in February of 2000. To MCC as just members. We were students at Midwestern Seminary and just haven't left. So that's the short story.
Yes, been around a bit. And you serve, besides being my wife and supportive in so many ways, you serve in an official capacity at MCC as a deaconess. Tell us just a bit about your ministry there.
Yeah, we have a homeschool co-op that meets every Tuesday during the school year, and I administer that and just do coordination with that and then work with a great bunch of moms there. It's great. Love it.
Stephanie, how about you? What's your entry at MCC? And just catch us up there.
So I met Julie several years ago at an NWI event for adoptive and foster moms, or I think it was maybe prospective foster families. And during COVID, our family was going through a time of transition, and Julie invited me to try MCC, and we've been there since August of last year.
It's been great to grow in friendship with you and your family. I remember the first time I met your husband, Anthony, was actually outside the dentist's office. We went to the same dentist. I don't know if you still do, Dr. J. You do. Yes, Dr. J. What a great dentist. Fun guy. And I was going in for a routine cleaning and walked out. And in walks your husband with Lydia, and he's walking in carrying my book, Until Every Child Is Home. And I thought, now, who is this guy? It was an unreal moment. The book had not been out all that long. And so I introduced myself and then made the connection because Julie had been talking about you, Stephanie. And I just thought, boy, from that moment on, this guy's going to be my friend. Anybody who's going to the dentist carrying my book he's my friend. I don't know anything about him, but this is going to be good. And it's been fun to develop a friendship here the last couple of years and to have you all at MCC. Julia Morrison, how about you? Share with us your entry at MCC.
Well, we moved here in 2019 in August, and we moved here so that JC could go to Midwestern. And on our first day here, we took a tour of Midwestern, and we actually met you, Todd, and you invited us to your church. And so we came to MCC that following Sunday, and we've been there ever since.
And it has been a delight to grow in friendship with you all and see you as parents now, something we prayed about. Julie, when I think about you all at MCC, I'm just struck by the last few years and all the Lord has done. I remember the first time that you and JC went out with Julie and me, we grabbed coffee and we were just talking about the future and what God has laid on your hearts to do and talk about family and parenting. And now to see you fostering and your heart in that and enduring challenges, frankly, that are some of the most difficult that a person can go through in parenting. And you're doing this right out of the gate. And so it has just been rich to see the Lord's faithfulness. And I'm hanging on with you for more faithfulness from the Lord each day and looking forward to it. So ladies, it's great to have you. I want to begin with just a reading a passage of scripture, reflecting on it for a moment. Deuteronomy 24, this is a passage I refer to often when I think about vulnerable kids and I think about the theological grid for this ministry. It I think, surfaces here in a window that we can look to other passages through. But Deuteronomy 24, verse 19, when you reap the harvest in your field and you forget a sheaf in the field, don't go back to get it. It is to be left for the foreign resident, the fatherless, the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. This is to Israel in their cultural situation. The principle, however, transcends that cultural situation to us, that God blesses his people as they seek to bless others. He is jealous to help those who are helpers, and the vulnerable is what we're all trying to do. And this takes us to CAFO. I went to the Christian Alliance for Orphans conference the first time, I think 4 years ago, something like that, and was just impressed by the quality of Christians there, people who were looking to help others. And it was obvious that the Lord was helping them along the way. And I knew as soon as it would be possible to have a group from MCC go, I thought it would be a blessing. So, Julie, share with us a highlight or two from the conference, a session that blessed you. And then Stephanie, we'll have you go next. And Julia, I'll interact with you ladies. But let's just share some highlights of this particular summit with the listeners.
Yeah, I think one highlight was a session, one of the first ones I went to, talking about, I think the title was Finding Strength When Things Are Hard. And first of all, the speaker, he's one of the leaders of CAFO, and he began just kind of sharing his own struggle that they're dealing with within their own family with a foster child. And so he was very relatable in sharing, you know, just where they're at in their journey. But he kind of talked about, he didn't have just a bunch of helpful hints. He was more of a, it's more like an operating system level talk, like the foundational truth of just remembering where we're at, why we're doing what we do. He talked about how our faithfulness on the journey is more important than a certain set of outcomes, and just some biblical truth of, you know, this is why we're doing this, and that that God's grace is sufficient in our weakness and his power is made perfect. And so it's just encouraging to be reminded of why we do what we do, and that it's not going to always be pretty. It's not going to end up, it may not look like we wished it would look, but we just need to stay faithful.
Thanks for sharing that. This kind of message comes through so often, and it's important because this is not easy. And not every foster adopt situation ends up like The Blind Side, right? That movie about Michael Orr, left tackle for the Baltimore Ravens, came out of a major college program. His parents adopted him, and he went on to career fame in the NFL. It's not always, it's quite so glorious. It's often rejection, it's hurt, it's hardship, it's giving without getting. And how we operate in that demonstrates our faith, and we just need to endure. I'm glad that you heard that session and that speaker. Julie, Stephanie, how about you? Was there a particular session or statement that impacted you?
There was. What Julia just commented was one of the top things as well. But I don't remember what session it was. There was this idea of how if we scale our reactions to our kids on a scale of 1 to 10, that not everything our children do deserve a 10 reaction. And a lot of times when we're not taking time to process and deal with maybe just our stuff that's going on in our own lives, or maybe taking some time to process something that just happened with another kiddo, then a lot of times things that are ones, we give 10 reactions. So it's kind of been my takeaway of just trying to pause when I'm interacting with my kiddos and trying not to give everything a 10.
That's a challenge for us. And it does seem that things compound with one child into another. And sometimes we address one child in light of addressing other children in the day and dealing with each on their own and those kinds of challenges and having patience. Julia, how about you? Any particular statements or sessions that were a blessing to you?
Yeah, so we have actually been struggling a lot with one of our kiddos needing a lot of control over his like day-to-day life. And so one thing that someone had mentioned was it's like really, really important to understand that like he is craving that control because in his mind, if he doesn't have that control, like he could die. Like it's to that extreme. And so like you always need to answer the questions, am I safe? Am I loved? And what can I learn from this? And like, those are the questions that like he needs to know the answers to, like, is he safe? Is he loved? And is he going to learn from like the experiences that he has? And like, can we help him to feel like he's in control?
Those feelings of control for kids who have experienced trauma are so important because for us, it's a no-brainer. Kid, why don't you trust me? Look, I've done everything for you. I've adjusted my life. I get you food multiple times a day. I'm up with you at night. I do this, I do this, I do this. And yet, because of that trauma vacuum, as I like to refer to it, at times they just still struggle to trust. And we put on top of that fleshly sinfulness that can cooperate with trauma. And boy, it's just a recipe for need in our lives and need for the Lord's faithfulness. Ladies, as you've listened to each other, perhaps there are other ideas that have come back to you or sessions or experiences. Let me just open it up, Julie, to you. Any other just reflections on the conference or nuggets generally that have yet impacted you?
I think I heard one speaker talking about just her own story, but not so often we want to deal with attitudes in kids and behaviors, and that's kind of like the foliage on a tree, and we really need to get to the root, and we need to give them truth and not just stoop to their level and respond in kind. She was talking to the speaker about how just learning with her own child, she's having a codependent relationship. If she had a good day, the kid, then mom had a good day. If the kid had a bad day, mom had a bad day. And she was just challenged to get beyond the replying to just the attitudes and behaviors and try to get to the root and to speak truth into her. And she saw a change there. And so that's been something I'm trying to think through and work on.
Stephanie, how about you? Just listening to Julie and Julia reflect, any secondary thoughts or deeper just reactions to the conference or other memories coming to mind as far as themes or issues addressed?
So I struggle with comparing my kids, whether it's comparing them to their peers that are the same age, maybe even comparing them to each other, especially having three boys so close in age. And so often I feel like I'm lowering my standard. I'm just constantly like, okay, let's lower this again. But was reminded, I forget who said it, but we're not lowering our standard, rather we're meeting our child where they're at. And so I've been trying to constantly remind myself of this is what my child's capable of. This is their best. So reframing my thinking there.
That's so helpful to remember that each child's different. And for each one, they have a background and they have peculiarities, and we have to deal with them according to what God's given them in that situation. And thanks for sharing that. Julia, how about you? Any just secondary reactions or something come to mind listening to Julie and Stephanie share here?
Yeah, I went to a session about biofamily and not necessarily like connecting with birth families, but it was by, I think her name was Jamie, and she is the founder of the Forgotten Initiative. And she was talking about how it's so important to recognize the role of birth families in our kids' lives. And like a lot of the trauma comes from that side. So like it's hard to see it in a positive light sometimes. But she talked about how we really need to talk about like our kids' biofamilies with respect, and also help them process the emotions that they're feeling towards their families. And our kids really, really struggle with that a lot of times, just like processing those emotions and finding good ways to process them or to talk about them. I know that our boys ask a lot of questions about their family, and it's just it was a helpful session to know that like I'm not alone in struggling with how to answer those questions, and just like understanding that we do need to show the biofamily respect, even though like it is from that trauma that our kids came from. So.
Yeah, that is just a challenge to connect the dots with them and yet help them as a part of your family and how all that works. But just listening to you ladies reminds me of the challenges of this ministry and God's faithfulness day by day. Well, let's just do a quick speed round here. I'm going to pull back for a moment. Just a few general kinds of questions. Julia, you go to Chick-fil-A. What do you order?
grilled nuggets and fries.
Grilled nuggets and fries. Stephanie?
Cobb salad.
Ah, yeah.
It can taste. Otherwise, the nuggets and fries.
Nice. Julie?
I like the club sandwich.
Indeed. Yes. If you had an afternoon to spend with your husband, where would he want to go? Where would he want to go? Julia, you and JC get to hang out for an afternoon, just the two of you. Where would he want to go?
In Kansas City?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Stumped you? Well, find out. We'll babysit some afternoon for you and you can go get it done. Stephanie, how about you?
Probably the driving range to play golf.
Nice. That would be fun.
You should just answer for me.
No, you have to do it.
I'm just going to say Starbucks.
That was probably right. I'd probably like to hang out with you at Starbucks. Yes. All right. Last question. First car that each of you had, first vehicle that was yours, that you drove, even if it was your parents owning it, you drove it. First vehicle. Julie.
It was like a cherry red Geo Prism. They don't even make them anymore. A Geo Prism. It was great.
Stephanie?
I had a Hunter Green Pontiac Sunfire.
Nice. Julia?
I had a green minivan, Mercury Villager, and it had a red handle on it because we had to replace the handle. So it was green with a red handle.
You were made to be a mom, driving a minivan from the go.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, let's think about ministry at MCC. You ladies have been at this conference, and it's an important conference. And as a pastor, I think about this ministry just through that lens. Obviously, I'm a parent who participates in it, but as a pastor, I go back to a statement that Russell Moore made. I heard him at a Christian Alliance for Orphans conference, same conference you all went to, about, again, 4 or 5 years ago. and he was doing a session and he struggled to get words. He's a pretty articulate gentleman, and he struggled in this session to just get words to explain what he senses when he goes to preach at a church that has an orphan care ministry that's active and thriving. And he just struggled to put words that could describe the atmosphere that that kind of ministry creates. And I have seen in the last few years in our church, through you three participating in this ministry, others praying for you and wrapping around you and supporting, the atmosphere really is a funnel-like atmosphere. We have received so much from God in his grace, his kindness to us, and now we are giving it away to these kids who are vulnerable, who are in the image of God, who've had to endure trauma to various degrees, but they have, and we are there to help them, and you all are producing at MCC an atmosphere to practice the Christian message. And I want you to be encouraged, ladies, because you are helping us in the language of James 1:27 to have pure and undefiled religion in our church. And it's easy for a church to not have that, to just be more of a reflective spiritual club as opposed to being poured out, receiving and then pouring ourselves out. And I thank you for that. So let's think about how we can sort of stoke the fire of this at MCC. What ideas do you have for us to progress further? Jules, what would you say as far as an idea or two?
We did get to spend some time kind of brainstorming the last day of the conference. We had a break, and I think we kind of all agreed, like, the most important thing is the way people can just help and get involved and serve, and that through the lens of ministry is helping with childcare when that's needed, not to see it as babysitting, but really to see it as ministry. If someone needs to go to, as you know, training, and husband and wife both need to be there, the kids have to be cared for. And even this conference, Julie and I both had people do that wraparound, the child care, and not just to babysit, but as ministry. And I think to have the vision that this matters, you know, this is a tangible way to serve and to help. So I think child care ministry, it would be at the top of my list there.
Stephanie, how about you? Any takeaways that we can do at MCC to further this ministry?
We did spend quite a bit of time talking about just this idea of wraparound care. And there was an idea that was brought up to kind of have this survey of sorts for parents that are, I guess, especially in larger churches or just any church, but entering into foster care, of just simple questionnaires like, what's mom's favorite coffee? What's couple's favorite place to go to dinner? Favorite way to spend a Saturday? So that you just have like a simple list of ways to bless a family, and starting that when they start the training process and not necessarily when the first kiddo is placed in their home.
Yes, that's strategic and being prepared. Julia, any thoughts come to mind?
Well, yeah, we talked a lot about the wraparound care, on top of what the other lady said, we also talked about maybe figuring out how we can best help when a foster child is placed with a family, and like how we can help with the family, but also the children, and making them feel comfortable and loved by their church family, and welcome, and just initiating that for them so that they know that they're welcome not only in that home, but also with the church family.
That is so important and can help those kids have a grid for God if we can help them to feel comfortable in their home, then they'll know that God is practical. He's near. And that kind of relational proximity is so helpful. One other idea that Julie and I have been tossing around is perhaps the need for a conference that would minister to teens who have been fostered or adopted, and the possibility of MCC taking a step in that direction. We have not been able to find many conferences that do that kind of a specific ministry and focus, even the Midwest or across the country, but a conference just for them. And so this is something I know that you ladies have talked about a bit, and I want Voices of MCC podcast listeners to pray about that. And we look forward to trying to tease those ideas out more. We're working on that now and looking forward to how we might help kids who are in a very vulnerable situation as teens, and how we could come alongside of them and provide encouragement and blessing to them and help them just more and more. So that's what I'm excited about. Ladies, I'm thankful that you had the chance to go to this conference, and I'm very thankful you got home.
True.
So let's talk for a moment about worse places you could sleep than the O'Hare Airport floor. Do you know of any place that would be worse?
I still say Cincinnati would have been worse.
Well, Julie,
in O'Hare might top that.
What was that?
The bus stop at O'Hare might top that.
Yes.
Well, that's the worst place.
Yes, the shuttle bus stop.
The shuttle bus stop would have been the worst place to stay the night. Okay, well, Julie, unpack the scenario for us a minute here.
Yeah, so we get to the airport in Cincinnati in plenty of time, and we notice right away our flight is slightly delayed, and the delay gets longer and longer and longer, and we had a one-hour layover in Chicago, and so not a whole lot of room for error there. And long story short, we did not make our connecting flight from Chicago to Kansas City, but we did get to Chicago, and we were a little concerned about that.
So you made it to Chicago. Stephanie, you get to Chicago, and what was the next trial once you landed in Chicago?
Well, Julie did great. She kind of, the mom of the group, just did a lot of adult things that weekend, and we were able to get our hotel covered. They weren't covering hotels for everyone in our flight, and finding the bus stop. And then when we got to the bus stop was kind of a whole nother adventure, the shuttle bus to take us to the hotel.
So Julia, you're waiting on this flight to Chicago. You finally land in Chicago. You're there at O'Hare, and O'Hare is shut down, Julia. Is that right? Or pretty close to being shut down?
Yeah, so they shut down all the like ingoing and outgoing flights for some reason. And so everyone was delayed coming in and going out, but all the flights then like left at the same time. So we didn't catch our connecting flight because of that.
So go ahead.
But it was quite the ordeal because everybody was like staying the night in hotels, and so the bus stop was so packed, and there was a flight. Where is their flight going? There's like
New Delhi.
Yeah, Bengali. So they were all going to like India, and so there was like a lot of people going to India, and it was just insane.
They were all trying to get on the shuttle at the same time.
Yeah.
It was impossible.
Literally the same time. Like,
you had a cross-cultural experience from what I have heard in a city like Delhi or New Delhi, that would be normal. Not in America, but there you have it. You had your cultural experience. I just remember continuing to track the notes from Julie. I'm at the first Friday Fire waiting to see if you would get out of Chicago. And finally, I get the confirmation that no, you are going to be stuck in Chicago overnight. So I'm thinking to myself, well, I will see the ladies tomorrow.
Yep.
And that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And JC and Anthony and I just thought, well, we're going to do one more day with the kids. And that's the way it's going to be. Our wives are learning about this kind of ministry, and we are going to also. We are going to learn by practice today and make plans on the fly and see how the Lord works. And well, ladies, thank you for your participation, your willingness to go. MCC, thank you for your generosity in making the trip happen for these ladies, and look forward to how we can continue this ministry and expand it. Just this last week at our small group, the majority of children at our small group had been in foster care adoption. I think almost all of them, maybe but one or two. And I'm just grateful for what the Lord is doing among us in that regard and what we can do for other families in the future. I want to thank you, ladies. Also want to thank again Alex Volkman for producing these each time that we're able to put them out, and Pastor Adam Anderson and Caleb Sheffield for their musical introduction. Until next time, friends, the Lord bless and keep you.